to the Wine It Up a Notch podcast, a podcast where I talk about wine, life, and everything in between. Welcome to episode 7 of this podcast. I have to start this podcast by confessing, if you've listened to the earlier episodes, there aren't that many, but if you've listened to them, I made a commitment to myself and kind of, you know, promise and attest that I would try to record every day. I had a reason for this that was because I have heard that that's the way, you know, you can sort of commit yourself to podcasting. And it also seemed like a really great goal for myself and an obstacle to overcome, you know, a mountain to climb and a good way to sort of record my thoughts. So I made this commitment that I would do it every day. And here I am to confess that by episode 7, I did not make it to doing this daily. I'm going to say I quit on maybe Sunday or Monday of last week, and it's now Monday of a new week. So it's been 6 or 7 days since I've picked up my recording device to record my voice again. But I have been thinking about doing this, and I'm really glad that I've picked it up again. I've actually found in this really short period of time that while this is challenging for sure, mostly just because of my own personal limitations and beliefs about what I can and can't do or what I should or shouldn't be doing, it is actually quite an interesting release. It's fun, and it kind of is a new creative outlet, and I enjoy it. So, you know, here I am back, but I had to confess because I thought, well, I could go backwards and make up all of these, you know, fake stories and episodes that I missed. And I'm not even honestly able to tell you when I, you know, last picked up and recorded. So I don't even know how many I'd be making up for, but I suppose I could figure it out. Or I could just be honest and probably let myself off the hook from this commitment I made in episode 1 or 2 to record every day. It doesn't look like that's going to be happening. However, I do remain committed to trying to do this podcast adventure and to do it with you. And hopefully you're enjoying what you're hearing. So today I thought I would look a little at some of life's spoils, if you will. And this, you know, you'll see how this relates to wine in a moment. I had mentioned in episode 6 that virtual schooling has been re-implemented in our province of Ontario, Canada, in response to the alarming spread of Omicron, a very serious situation that we're facing here in our province with spiking hospitalizations and kind of unexpected consequences amongst the population. And so the decision was made to move to virtual school. And, you know, in episode 6, I was kind of lamenting that move and the impact it was going to have on me and the family. But today I want to just talk about some of the things that have come up since my children have gone to virtual school, including, you know, not being able to log on to Zoom calls, not being able to get the support that my daughter, who has special needs, requires, not having the right resources available to the children to do the work that they're being asked to do, teachers being creative and thinking of, you know, really creative and engaging ways to keep the kids interested in school, and then that somehow falling on me and ruining everything that I plan to do for the day, and just all of the little foils and trip-ups that are happening right now as we readjust to life at home. And I just have to laugh, to be honest. At some point, it's just, you know, you've got to laugh at yourself. There's just so much going on, and sort of take a chill pill and let life happen the way it's going to. I mean, there's enough to deal with. We've got a lot going on in our lives right now in my family, and just making it to another day is what matters. And, you know, if it's not perfect, it's not perfect. And there will be upsets in life. And that's kind of the philosophy that I've been adopting, you know, and trying to just let things go. I can definitely be a bit of a control freak. There's no question about that, though I've actively been trying to work on that over the last couple of years. But, you know, I like things a certain way. It just gives me a sense of comfort. And that's definitely not the way things are going these days. So, you know, just got to let it go and roll with it. And I think that's an important life lesson, whether you're in the midst of lockdowns and a pandemic or anything else, even if, you know, life is going tickety-boo, things will always come up that throw you off the rails, spoils, as I'm calling them for today's episode. And you've just got to be able to keep going, keep your chin up, and find all the things you're grateful for and the things that are going well, and, you know, reposition and keep moving ahead. So how does this tie to wine? So interestingly, it ties to wine because I wanted to talk about wine faults and bottles of wine that are off, and I'm using air quotes that you can't see. The reason I thought that this was a great topic to talk about was the one and only bottle of wine that I opened last week in the interest of doing my weekly Wine Wednesday pick, which I do for both my blog and my social media accounts and have been doing for over a year now, maybe almost two, actually ended up being corked. So the wine was spoiled. And it just made me think, oh, wow, this is a good topic to quickly unpack. And there's a lot to talk about when it comes to spoilage in wine, but I'm going to keep it simple today. And, you know, maybe in a future episode, dive into this a little bit more. What I wanted to cover was the fact that, you know, wine can, in fact, be bad. I'm lucky that in our province, I buy my wines from the government authority that sells wine, which is the Liquor Control Board of Ontario, or we, you know, fondly call it the LCBO here. And they've got a pretty reasonable policy around spoiled product. So I was able to call them and send the wine back. And, you know, oftentimes if you find that your wine is corked or off in a restaurant, you can send it back as well. But I think a lot of people hesitate to make that call, perhaps because they feel like they don't really have the expertise to call a bottle as being off. And I would certainly say that that was myself for a really long time until I, you know, started drinking more and kind of understanding what to look for in terms of spoilage. So there are, you know, a variety of reasons that wines will not taste perfect and could be off. But today I'm just going to talk about what, you know, what is called cork taint. And I'll talk a little bit about the reasons that it can occur, although again, there's a multitude of reasons why this can be the case. But the one that I think is important is around oxidization, pardon me, of wine and bad corks. So essentially, cork enclosures, which you know, are very common and many people associate with quality when it comes to wine, are actually very prone to creating spoilage in a wine. Cork is a breathable material and it is essentially the closure between the wine and air. So as a cork, or if a cork erodes, which they can, or if there isn't a really great seal, air can get into a wine, and with air, over time, a wine spoils. So like I said, that's not the only reason. That's one of the reasons. There can also be bad cork that can cause a wine that's been in contact with the cork to taste off. And there are other reasons, which, as I said, I could explain in an upcoming episode, perhaps. What I want to focus on, though, is, you know, what can you look for in order to know that your wine is faulted and maybe should be sent back, whether you're at a restaurant or you've purchased a bottle of wine from a liquor shop and are wondering if you should continue to drink it. So I'd say the number one indicator is really an absence of flavor of fruit. There are, you know, a range of flavors that are present in wine, but generally wine, even if it's not of the, you know, intensely fruity variety, perhaps it's an old world wine that's more complex, it should still have a good presence of fruit that you can both smell and taste. And if that is missing, I find that that is kind of a number one, for me anyways, leading indicator that the wine may not be where it should be. It's not drinkable. The other thing you can look for is kind of a sharpness and an evaporation in your mouth. And the smell of varnish, so a nail polish remover, paint stripper, or even wet cardboard. So wet cardboard or kind of a damp basement is often associated with cork taint as well. So those are a couple things that you can, you know, look to differentiate between a wine that you maybe, you know, just don't really like that much because of the flavors or, you know, the profile's not really for you, versus a wine that's actually not in a drinkable state. Let's just keep in mind that wine is alive. It's, you know, constantly evolving, and it is prone to being spoiled for a variety of reasons. So it's not always the case, even with the best wines, that you're always drinking a really great wine or a wine that you should be drinking. And for that reason, I think, you know, it's important to kind of have the confidence to be able to say, I think this might be off, and to know what you're looking for. So just to summarize, once again, a couple of, for me, the leading indicators are an absence of fruit coupled with the smell or presence of a taste of something that's quite sharp and displeasing. So it could be something that's reminiscent of nail polish remover, a paint thinner or paint stripper. It can also be something that's more akin to Band-Aids is another thing that people will say, although that's a different type of, in my mind, spoilage. Or a wet basement or kind of damp cardboard sort of smell or even kind of taste, or I'd say presence in your mouth. So hopefully that helps. I do think that sometimes, particularly in a restaurant setting, things can go one of two ways. Either people are really shy to say that they think a wine might be off, and they just don't say anything at all and they'll drink the whole thing. Or I think it can go the other way sometimes, where someone is, you know, maybe over-indexing on thinking a wine is off and sending it back. And of course, a good restaurant or bottle shop will take it back, but it always helps to kind of have a sense of what may be a good indicator of a bottle of wine that's off. And as I said, just like in life, wine is also fraught with faults. It does happen, and it shouldn't ruin your day. Hopefully, it's always a disappointment, especially if it's a really great bottle you've been looking forward to, or the only bottle you've purchased for a meal at home, or something you've been hanging on to for a long time, you know, waiting to get into. When you open it, if it's not where you're expecting it to be, it's faulted or spoiled, that can certainly be a disappointment. But, you know, like life, we move on and you find something else that's great to enjoy. With that, I will close off today's episode. Thank you so much for joining me and listening to me. I'm really, as I said, enjoying this. And I hope that you, whoever is out there listening to it, enjoy it too. And until next time, wishing you peace, love, and light. Take care. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Wine It Up a Notch podcast. I hope you're enjoying the podcast thus far. Be sure to hit subscribe to be notified of future episodes or leave a review to let me know what you think. Take care.